To Shattering Myths. We are now joined by my favorite guest, not only a good friend of the program, but a great asset to all humanity. His name is IQ Al-Rasuli. I consider IQ to be the most knowledgeable and articulate spokesman in the world on the subject of Islam. He is not a Muslim, but he is a person who understands Islam vastly better than does any Muslim. The reason that IQ is such a gift to the world is that he has devoted his energies to exposing and condemning the religion, the political manifestation, the man-made dogma that is known as Islam, which means submission in Arabic. He recognizes that the first victims of Islam are Muslims, that as a result of Islam, half the world's Muslim population, women are treated like animals. He recognizes that because of Islam, most Muslims live in the most hellish conditions on earth and they have no hope. But he also recognizes that because of Islam, 99% of the world's terrorist acts are perpetrated. The only way to stop Islamic terrorism is to expose and condemn Islam. The only way to free Muslim woman from the torment of Islam is to expose and condemn the religion. And so no one knows how to do this better than IQ Al-Rasuli, and that's why we invite him back each Friday to this program. He has written three volumes of a book called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. You can buy them at Amazon.com, or you can participate in Al-Rasuli's blog and commentary by going to alrasuli.com, alrasuli.com. My friend, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me, sir.
You today had written me a note and said that you wanted to discuss ways to prove conclusively that the Quran was the worst book ever written, that the Quran could in no way possible be from the God who created the universe, and wanted to speak of some of the reasons that you have concluded that the Quran was not inspired by God and that it is, in fact, a horribly written book. And I can think of no one better qualified to make that case. So while I have my my places where I will want to jump in and my issues with the Quran, I'd like to let you begin.
I would like our listeners to comprehend the following facts that no one in the media or academia ever point out to the unwary Quran ignorant 98% of humanity. That every single piece of information that humanity has about Muhammad, his followers, the pagan, Christian and Judaized Arabs, are one-sided, uncorroborated, unsubstantiated, self-serving records bequeathed to humanity by Muhammad and his followers. Hence, those who study these subjects are aware and careful how to evaluate this information. The facts about Muhammad's Quran are the following. At the very beginning of Islam, the Quran was being memorized and not yet compiled in a written form, especially since as long as Muhammad was alive and receiving his alleged revelations over a long period of 20 years, new surahs were being added while others were being revised, deleted, and or abrogated.
Now, can I stop you there? Because you said something that you passed over. That is, it is, I think, absolutely essential for our listeners to appreciate. And so before you go to the fact that the Quran was not initially written, but was just hearsay, passed on mouth to ear, what you said is that there's very few documents, very few sources that present 100% of what's known about Muhammad. And those sources happen to be the only five sources that came to exist that were compiled within 250 years of Muhammad's death. Are the Quran itself, which is a jumbled mess without context or chronology, the Sira, which is the biography of Muhammad, a compilation of hadiths, which are oral reports from Muhammad and his companions. The Tariq, which is the history of Islam's formation, compiled by al-Tabari, also compiled of hadith, but put in chronological order, as is the Sira. And then there were two topical compositions of hadith, one by Bukhari, the other by Muslim. And from what we can tell, those are the only four or five sources that were put into writing that have been passed on to us within 200 to 250 years of Muhammad's death. Now, the reason that's important is because 100% of what is known about Muhammad and his creation of Islam is contained in those five sources. If you read those sources and you discover, as we have done, that 99% of the material found in those sources is repulsive, morally repugnant, vicious, abominable. I mean, absolutely and completely disgusting that Muhammad was a mass murderer, a terrorist, a rapist, a pedophile, a sexual pervert, a slave trader, a kidnapper. And so if you deal with what those sources say and you come to understand all that can be known about this man, you'll be repulsed by him and his religion. And if you are ignorant of them, if you discount them, then nothing can be known about Islam or this religion, and the religion ceases to exist. It has no basis whatsoever. And that is the essence of what we're trying to do. If we can expose to you what those five sources actually say, and you come to acknowledge that these are the only authentic sources related to Muhammad and Islam, you will come to hate the religion for what it does as much as we do. And if you're ignorant of them, then you ought to not ever open your yap regarding this disgusting religion. Is that a fair statement?
Not only fair, but I would like to add one more. The sources themselves are pro-Islam.
Correct.
And that these very sources that speak of Muhammad show him for what he is. Exactly what you described.
Yes,
brilliant. A mass murderer, a rapist, a pathological liar, a slave owner.
Yes.
The Quran that we have today is the result of 300 years of editing, adding, and subtracting to suit the agenda of the Arab Empire. Muhammad was allegedly illiterate, who received his inspiration from the pagan god of Arabia called Allah, through what Muhammad claimed was the angel Gabriel. As and when Muhammad received his made-to-order revelations, I repeat, made-to-order revelations, he recited them to his companions at that time, and those of them who could write did so. But those who could not had to memorize them. Since these alleged revelations occurred at different times, at different places, with different companions, over a period of 20 years, I'm sure any logical listener would understand how easy it would have been to get them mixed up, misunderstood, and not correctly remembered, especially since at the time of Muhammad, there were no vowels or diacritical marks to differentiate the different consonants, only six of which are clearly distinguishable by their form, whereas the remaining 22, due to their formal similarities, were only distinguishable from each other by the context. It is so important that the listener understand this. 22 letters were almost, they're not identical, but similar to each other. And without the critical mark to distinguish the vowels, it would have been almost impossible to get them correct.
In fact, you'd have to make it up as you go along. It's not, you don't, the original alphabet used to describe the old, to pen the oldest Qurans cannot be read, cannot be recited, and cannot be understood without massive interpretation. You have to go through and say, well, this word could be any one of 20 different words, depending on how it is vocalized, and so people are guessing as to what those words are, as opposed to actually translating what those words are.
I'm corroborating this by saying, in fact, without these critical marks, the consonants can have 23 varieties that could occasion misreading, thus totally altering the meaning of the words.
Yes. Now, let me interrupt here a minute because I want to share something that most people don't recognize. Written Arabic actually came into existence toward the very end of Muhammad's life. Written Arabic was created by the Syriac Christians for the express purpose of communicating to Arabs, and its alphabet is a derivative of Hebrew. And by that time, there was no one around who knew that the Hebrew alphabet with its 22 letters, and it's, by the way, it's the same alphabet, just different shapes on some of the letters, but it's the same alphabet. This notion that the Quran was given in pure Arabic is a lie. It's mostly Hebrew. But those letters, 20 of the 22 letters, 5 of the 22 letters in Hebrew are vowels. But at the time that you're dealing now with the 7th century CE, no one knew that. And because they were ignorant of that, without the diacritical Lamarck's, it could not have been pronounced, and there was no way of knowing, differentiating words with the same consonant root. But it is insightful to know that written Arabic only came into existence at the very end of Muhammad's life, and so the Quran was not initially written down. And when it was finally written down, the actual language was based on Hebrew, the very language they were opposing.
I would like to add, again, what you just said is, of course, correct. So the most important people during Muhammad's life were not the ones who wrote, but actually the ones who memorized. And the reason is simple. Those who memorized it could vocalize the words correctly.
Mm-hmm.
It is so important to understand that. Those who memorized the Quran were able to recite it in the correct manner. But those who wrote it down couldn't possibly, without the diacritical marks, have written it down correctly.
That is correct. Now, if you go into a court and you try to testify and you said, I heard somebody say that they 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 heard somebody say that this is what they said. What would that evidence be called in a court? Would it be considered evidence at all, or is there a legal term to describe why it is would be rejected as evidence?
Well, it's hearsay. And
yeah,
it's
there's it.
Admissible in a court of law.
That is correct. It's hearsay. It's hearsay even if it's one person removed. And in this case, with the Quran, in some cases, it's 25 people removed from what was originally said. We're going to return with IQ al-Rasuli and what I consider to be his brilliant presentation of why the Quran is an absolute myth that needs to be exposed and condemned to make our world a much more civil place to live. This is Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. I'm your host, Yada. We're here with IQ al-Rasuli, who is pointing out the flaws that exist in terms of the transmission of the Quran, the fact that what he is saying, however, undermines the basis of Islam. Muslims claim that the Quran is absolutely inerrant, letter for letter, perfect, just as it was delineated to Muhammad, and that it has not changed at all, absolutely perfect. And what IQ is pointing out is that that isn't even remotely possible, and that 100% of the evidence affirms that the Quran that Muslims read today is at best a pale reflection of what was actually recited by Muhammad some 13 centuries ago. I'd like you to continue, IQ, with your presentation.
Thank you, sir. Dear listeners, without a doubt, Muhammad failed utterly in his primary mission of giving his followers a single authorized scripture. Because in reality, he died without authenticating a unified codex of the Quran. The fact that he left his followers with 7 modes or versions of the Quran speaks volume about his failure. Also, there was not a single memorizer who knew all the verses of the Quran. All these verses were scattered in the memories of hundreds of Huffaz. Huffaz means memorizers. After Muhammad died in the year 632 AD, Abu Bakr, the first Khalifa or vice regent leader of the Islamic polity, had to spend 2 years slaughtering the Arab tribes who left Islam because they only joined it because they were terrorized by Muhammad into submission. The Islamic records assert that hundreds of memorizers of the Quranic verses died, and with them the verses that they knew that no one else knew about. So much for their mantra of Allah's unaltered book, the Quran.
As a matter of fact, even when we read the hadith, Muhammad himself says, yeah, I've forgotten verses of the Quran. He even blames Allah for having caused him to forget verses of the Quran. And he is asked when competing versions of the Quran are presented by different people to judge between them, and he can't keep his story straight from one time to the next. And what we find is that immediately after his death, that Bakr tried to pull together a unified Quran, and what he found is that what he had to do is just pick, I like this one, I don't like that one, I'll include this, I won't include that, and ultimately Islam destroyed all of the various competing versions, so that they would create the impression that the one that they had compiled randomly was the original one.
True. Exactly what happened. You know, this is the most remarkable thing about Islam. The very records, the hadith, that explain to the followers of Muhammad his Quran and Sunnah, are actually the very records that utterly discredit Muhammad as a prophet and the alleged divine origin of his Quran.
Yeah, he's right.
This is the most amazing part of the whole story.
Yes.
But you need to study. People have to study this subject to come to these conclusions.
Yes.
It was because of these losses that Abu Bakr decided to collect all the verses of the Quran from what they say, the best of men, that means from their mind, from paper, from bones, and from wherever people wrote their verses. To prove it, I'll tell you how. Sahih al-Bukhari hadith 6.509, narrated by Zayd bin Thabit. Zayd bin Thabit was the one who collected the Quran first time at the orders of Bakr. And what does he say? He says, Umar ibn Khattab was a companion, a very close companion of Muhammad, and the second Khalifa. Umar ibn Khattab said to me, casualties were heavy among the Qurra'a, that means the memorizers of the Quran. On the day of the Battle of Yamama. The Battle of Yamama was when the Muslims were killing each other because some of them apostatized, they left Islam. And I'm afraid that more heavy casualties may take place among the Quran, the memorizers, on other battlefields, whereby a large part of the Quran may be lost. Therefore, I suggest to you, Abu Bakr, order that the Quran be collected. So I, and the narrator is Zayd bin Thabit, so I started looking for the Quran and collecting it from what was written on palm stalks, thin white stones, and also from the men who knew it by heart, till I found the last verse of Surah At-Tawbah with Abi Khuzaym al-Ansari, and I did not find it with any other than him. It is so important, just the last sentence.
Yes.
So you have one man who knew about a certain verse that no other memorizer remembered or knew about it.
Yeah.
And this repeatedly happened with other memorizers who knew certain verses that no other one was available to write them down. And
we'll be back. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We're talking with IQ Al-Rasuli about the enormous fallibility of the Quran. I have a question for you, IQ. Is the, when all of these surahs were and verses were allegedly collected, were they all put together in chronological order? Were they put together in the order that Muhammad allegedly received them, or is the Quran a jumbled mess?
Quran, one will find out that the surahs are not in the order of their alleged revelation, but in utter disarray. There is no beginning, no middle, and no ending to the text of the Quran, nor is there any in its chapters. It is a tossed salad of stones. For example, the first verse revealed to Muhammad is at the beginning of Surah 96, not in the first or second Surah. The second Surah in the Quran was actually the 87th from Medina. The third should have been the 89th. The fourth should have been the 92nd, and so on ad nauseum. There is absolutely nothing logical in the
fifth. The fifth was the last received, and the ninth was the second to last allegedly handed down. But it's even worse than that, because as you described, the first alleged revelation is found in the 96th surah. But what you find is that in the 96th surah are multiple revelations that occurred at different times, and that's happened to be the same with the second surah, where it's a blend, it's a hodgepodge, a tossed salad of revelations, not one revelation. Next question I have for you, IQ, is there evidence of plagiarism, in particular plagiarism from the Jewish Talmud in the Quran?
It's full of plagiarism. It is full of plagiarism from apocryphal Jewish and Christian ones, by the way.
Yes.
Literally, from Jewish and Christian ones. There is nothing mentioned in the Quran which is biblical, which is identical to the original part of the Bible.
Correct.
Not a single item.
Yeah, it's not just plagiarized. It's plagiarized and bastardized, convoluted. Let me ask you another question, IQ. Are contradictions in the Quran, internal contradictions, which is absolute proof that something isn't true, are contradictions so prevalent in the Quran that there is actually a verse that explains why there are contradictions and how to handle the contradictions?
Allah told Muhammad that he will reveal to him other verses which are either equal to or superior to the earlier verses. And of course, every time he reveals something to him, it contradicted the earlier ones. Last time we were talking, and you mentioned something about that the believers can fight 10 men at a time. And I added to you that the next day, Muhammad revealed another verse saying that Allah has forgiven him the 10-to-1 ratio. A believer can fight only 2 men who are unbelievers.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not only a contradiction. This is downright stupidity.
How could Allah not know if Allah is God? It's the idea that that here Allah is allegedly telling Muhammad, you toss the contradictory verses into oblivion, which means, by the way, you now need to have the chronological order that these verses were handed down, so you know which contradiction to toss away and which contradiction to believe in. And since the Quran is not in chronological order, now you require the hadith, which means that Muslims without the hadith have nothing. But if you have the hadith, that you know that Muhammad was a repulsive sexual pervert and ruthless, murderous, and lying terrorist. And so you lose either way. Are there factually inaccurate statements in the Quran? For example, does the Quran claim to confirm the Torah when its every word is the antithesis of the Torah?
Yes. The Quran also claims that it is confirming the Gospel, the Injil.
Yeah.
And yet it's completely contradictory. Again, we are in the subject when the Quran says that Allah revealed the Gospels to Jesus. The four Gospels say that Jesus died on the cross. And there is a verse in the Quran that Allah told Muhammad, no, Jesus did not die on the cross. A lookalike died on the cross. I mean, these contradictions are so devastating to prove that Allah could not possibly be the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham.
Does the Quran claim that its purpose is to reveal Allah's insights in pure Arabic? And is the word Quran itself from the Hebrew kara, which means to read and recite?
Yes, and it's also from Syriac, Qur'an. Exactly the same.
Yes.
Nothing in the Quran is Arabic. Nothing important in the Quran is Arabic. I'll give you an example. No follower of Muhammad or any of their apologists would ever point out to the unwary readers or listeners that about 118 of the most important words in the Quran are most definitely not, I repeat, not Arabic, but were plagiarized, plundered, pirated, and or perverted from the Christian Syriac, Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, and Persian. especially words that deal with religion, law, and spirituality, which is without which Muhammad's Quran would not exist.
Correct.
This fact.
Yeah, the scholar Jeffries is the one who first pioneered that research, and subsequently I've learned Hebrew because I've spent most of my time studying the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, and now as I consider Arabic in light of the Hebrew alphabet and Hebrew terminology, what you find is that almost every important concept that is conveyed in the Quran is Hebrew. And so it isn't a case of pure Arabic. And the reason, by the way, that it is so many Hebrew concepts, Hebrew words are used in the Quran, is that the meat of the Quran, its religiosity, is a plagiarism of the Hebrew Talmud. When Jews recited, Muhammad paid Jews to recite Talmud stories to him, and he twisted and plagiarized those to create his Quran. And so it is filled with Hebrew concepts, and so the Quran's second most important claim, that it is pure Arabic, is a lie.
This fact was fully recognized by the earliest Muslim exegetes, by the way,
yes,
who showed no hesitation in noting words as Christian, Iranian, or Jewish in origin,
yep,
and were compiled by Al-Suyuti in his Itqan fi Ulum al-Quran, Al-Tabari, Al-Baghawi, Al-Razi, and many more. I mean, this is the most damaging item.
Yes.
The very sources of Islam utterly discredit Muhammad as a prophet and the alleged divine origin of his Quran completely.
Okay, let me ask you another question.
The later scholars, by the way, it was under the later scholars of the Shafi'i, that this fact, for obvious sectarian reasons, was pushed into the background, and an orthodox doctrine was elaborated, later turned into a dogma, to the effect that the Quran is a unique product of the Arabic language. False.
Let me ask you another question. You know that the Torah, prophets, and Psalms are filled with tens of thousands of exacting predictions that have either already come true exactly as they were predicted, or they're coming through right before our eyes today. Does the Quran have any accurate prophecies? And is the Quran so bad that it doesn't even get history right?
Well, first of all, it doesn't get the history right, but there's no predictions. There is not a single prediction in the Quran by Muhammad. The Quran asserts that Muhammad was only a warner. He is not a prophet in the sense of the biblical prophets, although they mentioned the word prophet. Even Aisha, it's in the hadith, said
yes,
he cannot tell you the future. But if he can't tell the future, how is he a prophet?
Yeah. I mean, does the Quran talk about mythical people, people that allegedly lived in Arabia, that built these massive cities? And has it now been proven that Muhammad's mythical people never existed?
That's true also. Yes, he had the mythical people. The people who disappeared. And why
right.
did they disappear? They disappeared because they did not obey their prophets. So
right.
he was giving his followers an example, mythical of course, to frighten them that if they don't follow him, they too will be disappearing. By the way, to people who are listening, I would like to give them some words that they understand where it's coming from. From the Christian Abyssinians, that's from Ethiopia. The word in the Arabic language, merhab, is a niche. Minbar is pulpit, and this is used in the context of the mosque. Burhan, proof. Harawiyun, apostles. Mi'raj, ladder. These are words in the Arabic Quran, but they're not Arabic language. From the Persian language, they got barzakh, obstacle. Firdaus, which is paradise. Zanjabil, which is ginger. Sijil, which is stones. Firind, sword. Khandaq. You remember the battle of the Khandaq?
Yeah.
That's in Medina. Khandaq is a Persian word, means ditch. They never had a
right.
concept of the ditch. From the
right.
Greek language, this is amazing. From the Greek language, kharaj is land tax. Khoregia. Dinar is dinaros, which is currency.
Right.
Iblis is diablos, the devil.
Yes.
Injil is the gospel.
From Angelion.
Yes. For example, from the Hebrew, they talk about madrasa, which is school. So it's Beti Midrash. Sadaqah, charity. Surah, chapter or revelation. Shekhinah is the Holy Spirit. All and or perverted, and without which the
as
Quran
is,
has
as
absolutely
is
no basis.
Right, as is Quran from the Hebrew kara, which means to read and recite. When we talk about the Quran's issues, does not the Quran have a story that Muhammad was trying to answer a question about Alexander the Great, and then came up with a name for him and said that he was a Muslim prophet who went to visit people, extraterrestrials, where the sun goes nighty-night?
Yes, it's they called him Dhul-Qarnayn. Dhul-Qarnayn, with the two horns. The reason is this. Many of the Greeks, when they had a helmet, they had like two horns on them. So they called him Dhul-Qarnayn. Dhul-Qarnayn is the emblem of the Greek helmet.
Right.
And then he said that the Alexander the Great met a people, and nearby these people, the sun goes to sleep in a muddy water. The sun is a million times bigger than the earth, but it goes to sleep in a muddy water.
Yet, so would you say that there are scientific errors then in the Quran? This one seems to be a scientific error that Alexander the Great went to visit extraterrestrials, and he did so in a muddy spring where the sun goes to bed each night. Are there other scientific errors in the Quran?
Yes, easy. He said that the earth is flat. In repeated verses, the earth is flat, and the mountains, by the way, God created the mountains to hold the flat earth together.
Yes, when in fact the mountains, rather than a source of stability, the mountains are an example of earthquakes, of tectonic plate movements, and they are the result of instability rather than stability, directly contradicting what Muhammad said. In fact, even his creation accounts, we'll return to this after the break, but didn't Muhammad have many conflicting creation accounts and the creation of man, all of which were wrong? Hold that thought and we'll return to it when Shattering Myths returns in a moment. Hello and welcome to the last segment of Shattering Myths for today. We have just a few minutes left with IQ Al-Rasuli, and so I want to ask IQ two questions, the first of which is, in the Quran, when it presents the method that Allah allegedly created humankind, are there conflicting accounts of how God created man? First of all, and second of all, as a compound questions, are any of these accounts accurate?
First of all, there are multiple creation accounts, and not a single one of them is accurate. Not one. Because according to the first verse revealed to Muhammad, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق, means read in the name of your Lord who created man from a leech or blood clot. Now, this is false. This is completely erroneous. Not only scientifically, but even from the biblical point of view. A clot, a blood clot, is dead material. It cannot be creating something. And if it's from a leech, man was not created from a leech. Because also the Quran says man was created from
slimes,
and female sperm, from water, from clay, and from dust. So it's conflicting in every single way.
Yeah, there's some 20 of them.
The creation of the universe is also wrong.
Okay, that's hilarious. Yeah, I compare the creation accounts of Muhammad to the creation of the universe is very similar to Dr. Seuss's one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish, except Dr. Seuss writes far more eloquently than did Muhammad. So there are some 20 different creation accounts in the Quran. They are all conflicting with one another, and not one of them is accurate. Fair statement?
Absolutely true, yes.
All right, let me switch to what I think is the single most glaring depravity of the Quran. Moral things. I would like you to share with our listeners the approximate ratio between violent, perverted, irrelevant, and inaccurate verses found in the Quran to those that are moral, uplifting, and uniquely inspiring, nurturing, or revealing. What percentage of the Quran is either violent, perverted, irrelevant, or inaccurate versus that percentage of the Quran that is moral, uplifting, and uniquely inspiring, nurturing, and revealing?
Not a single one is uniquely inspiring or revealing. Not one.
Is there anything in the Quran that's even moral?
Not one single precept in the whole of the Quran comes from Muhammad's mind, which is uniquely separate from whatever he's borrowed or plagiarized from the Bible.
Well, surely there's some, since the Quran claims to affirm the Torah, and the single most important theme in the Torah is love. Surely then the Quran speaks of love.
Of course, it speaks of love. Only between Allah and Muhammad. Only between Allah and Muhammad. Since Muhammad and Allah are one and the same, it speaks for itself.
And the last surahs, those that were revealed in Yathrib, today's Medina, is there a propensity of those verses to get a wee bit violent?
Each and every verse revealed to him in Yathrib is deadly. Ladies and gentlemen, based upon all the information provided to humanity by the Islamic records of Hadith and others, the only possible conclusion explaining all the anomalies, absurdities, historical dislocations, grammatical errors, biblical misrepresentations, time and place displacements, and utter idiocy in Muhammad's Quran must be that every letter, word, ayah, verse, and chapter, surah were never revealed to Muhammad by any God called Allah or an angel called Gabriel or any other entity. Because in fact and in reality, they are all the product of Muhammad's imagination, the secretions of his warped mind to acquire, as you always said, to acquire sex, power, and money, but very cleverly projected into the unsuspecting mouths of Allah and Gabriel to give them the aura of sanctity and divinity.
Yes,
Muslims have placed this pervert criminal on a high pedestal. Our job is to bring him down.
That is correct. And he does that beautifully himself. All you have to do to expose and condemn Muhammad is to expose Muhammad's words and deeds as they are represented in the five earliest Islamic sources. If you use the hadith that are compiled chronologically in by Ishaq and Tabari to put the Quran in chronological order and set it into the context of Muhammad's life, it is an extremely easy book to understand. It becomes nothing but situational scriptures that Muhammad made up to satiate his personal lust for sex, power, and money. And the fact that 1,500,000,000 people are poisoned by this doctrine and live in a hellish conditions as a result is a great crime against humanity. And the fact that it inspires 99% of the terrorist acts today is a crime also against humanity that must be exposed and condemned. Thank you, IQ, for participating in Shattering This.
Thank you for having me.
Many Americans suffer from poor digestion, which can adversely affect their health.
For you guys who have digestive issues, glutathione is amazingly important for inflammatory bowel disease.